Well, this is Robert with Star Comics in Lubbock, Texas, turning the tables on Lance here with Night Nerd. I will be your host. Lance is in the hot chair, the hot seat. He is being interviewed. This is a part two or back from the break, depending. It does depend on how he wants to do it, since even though he's in the hot seat, he still kind of runs the show. So we'll let Lance make the final decision. But we're coming back from a break. We were just finishing talking about your favorite video games, and we're going to launch into comics. So tell me about the early days of reading comics for you. What was your, not necessarily your first comic book, but what were some of your early memories with engaging in comics?
So I'm a bad fan. I don't remember my first comic
book. And that's fine. That's why I don't even think that's a good question.
You know, I know people that they, oh yeah, I picked up X-Men number, and I remember when X-Men number one came out with the big, you know,
The Jim Lee 91, yeah.
But I'd been reading before that.
Okay.
But not, you know, I think that's really when I started being a comic fan. You know,
sure.
I'd read before then, and then, you know, you had this is early 90s, and you get the Batman animated series debuting in 92.
Mm-hmm.
You get the X-Men not too long after that, and just really a lot of great stuff going on. When you're a 10, you know, 8, 19-year-old kid, mm-hmm. it seems like it's a lot of great stuff.
Sure.
And growing up, I spent, if I was going to the comic store, there were three places. Now I only go to Star. But mm-hmm. growing up, depending who was driving me, depending where
sure,
we had to go.
Sure, depending upon where you hit.
Because back then there was a place in the mall that mm-hmm. I do not remember the name of it, that ironically enough, like years later, I ran into the owner's daughter because her husband was a friend of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a small world. My granddad used to go to a magazine shop that was down by campus.
Mm-hmm. The newsstand?
The newsstand, yes. Mm-hmm. And then they opened up a second location after a while. But he would go and get all of his hot rod books and mm-hmm. hunting books and gun books.
And they'd have comic books. They'd have a little comic there. Yeah.
And then
what kind of stuff, when you'd go somewhere with your granddad, what kind of stuff would you pick up? Would it get to be your choice, or would he choose for you?
No, it was my choice. As long as my mom wasn't the one taking me, I could get whatever I wanted.
Okay.
And this was, you know, even fast forward a few years later, fourth, fifth grade, this is like when Marvel's doing like the swimsuit issues, and so mm-hmm. I'd want to go with my granddad, because my mom wouldn't let me get that, but
yeah.
I went with my granddad, he didn't care.
Okay.
So I got to pick whatever I want, but even then, it was, you know, at the time, there wasn't a huge, I mean, there was an independent scene, but not like it is now. It
sure.
was Marvel or DC,
yeah.
pretty much what you had, and I was more of a Marvel fan because of the X-Men on TV.
Mm-hmm.
I loved that show. I loved the Batman show, too, but I really enjoyed the X-Men show, so I was picking up all the X-Men titles.
Okay.
Never... Really
did you have a favorite character in the X-Men that you always wanted to make sure you hit that team?
Actually, the original five, for the most part. Cyclops, my favorite, Cyclops, Angel, Iceman, as any of those three were
okay.
in the book, I was there.
Oh, okay.
I really enjoyed that. I'm not a Wolverine fan,
mm-hmm.
Which in 90s X-Men is super taboo, but I never, because I always saw him as like this jerk who's trying to steal Cyclops' girl, and
yeah.
That's not a superhero. That's not a hero. That's not a good person. So I had a lot of problems with it.
Okay.
But, yeah, so a lot of X-Men, a little bit of Batman. I remember reading some Justice League, but that was kind of before the Justice League was the Big Seven. So you had, like, Fire and Ice and Guy Gardner on there. And I didn't enjoy it then like I do now, you know, going back and rereading it.
So what year are we talking about?
Again,
range of years, anyway.
90 to 94.
Okay. So 90 to 94, what was it about comics that spoke to you? Did you and your friends talk about them at school? Was it just something that you just really enjoyed? What was it about comic books that kind of got you interested in that time frame?
It was me. My friends, to this day, most of my like really inner close circle of friends don't read a whole lot of comics, with the exception of, you know, three or four guys. The majority of them don't. And I just remember enjoying the art for, you know, at that age. It was like, oh, this dude's really cool. He's got these cool weapons and, oh, hey, this girl's kind of hot, so I'm going to read that.
Mm-hmm.
But then once you're reading it, and I just, like we mentioned on the other show, the stories, you know, in video games, I love stories. And in comics, I really enjoyed the characters and the directions and stuff that they were taking.
You get sucked into the soap opera, so to speak, which is the point. So, so they won.
Yeah, they did.
Okay.
Still winning. I mean, I remember reading, this is when you had, like Executioner Song and Extinction mm-hmm. Agenda and all of those. And I just remember not knowing these characters, you know, I didn't know that they had been around for, 30 years by that point. So I was like, oh my gosh, they really might die. That something really might happen.
Sure.
To them.
They actually made a suspenseful story for mm-hmm. you at that age. So do you like the crossover events now? Do you feel that crossover, I mean, you mentioned two big crossover events in their time period that obviously sucked you in, so it worked. How do you see crossover events affecting comics today?
Today, I think, well, I mentioned I like the stakes of them. I feel like nowadays there's no stakes.
Okay.
And I liked it because it was just the X-Men and their cross. It was just their books crossing over. Even going on, you know, when you had the Phalanx Comet and Age of Apocalypse, like, it was just the X-Men.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think both companies have the same side of the coin, or different sides of the same coin, but, you know, Marvel tries to suck all the books into it, mm-hmm. and if it's, you know, if you're reading X-Men, you're going to want to read all the X-Men and see what happens, but if I'm reading X-Men, I don't care what's going on in Captain America.
Sure.
And DC, on the flip side, they have, you know, like Dark Knight's Metal, which is outside, I mean, it's not tied up in the books, it's its own self-contained mm-hmm. thing, and you might see it in an issue or two here or there, but it's not company-wide. So I don't mind a big, massive crossover if it's contained in a specific line of books,
mm-hmm.
like if just the Batman books. When they did the Monster Night or Night of the Monsters, that was really cool because it was a nice little one-and-done and everything. But if you're trying to...
Where do you think the stakes were lost? What time frame? What storyline happened for you in particular where you're like, yeah, there are no stakes in this anymore. I'm not worried about this happening to this character or this storyline going in this direction, because I know if me and, you know, two dozen other people don't like it, they'll just change it later anyway.
Yeah. Ironically enough, it was Age of Apocalypse, which is probably one of my favorite crossovers. I think it's the best one. A lot of fun. You know, mm-hmm. we talked about good movies and fun movies. It's a real fun crossover.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of it, everything goes back to normal.
Okay.
You know, and it was this big, epic, oh my gosh, everything's changing. And really after that, I was like, well, you changed for 4 months and literally went right back to the status quo.
Yeah.
And it doesn't take away from the story. It's still a great story. But I think really after that, and then in recent years, you know, it's really hard because with the success of the movies and things like Civil War and Final Crisis, you know, that way I'm not just dogging on just one company.
Sure.
You killed Cap, you killed Batman, but they have a movie coming out. They're not going to be dead for long.
Gotcha.
And I think once the movies, which I love the movies, I'm not one of those people that's like, oh, they're better just as comics. Like, I really enjoy the movies, but I do think to a certain degree the movies hurt the big epic stories.
So can we take this time on Night Nerd to start working on the project of separating the movies from the comics? Can we just now admit that movies are movies, no matter what their basis, their inspiration, or their origin, and comics are comics?
I am 110% behind
that. Okay, good. Because I'm struggling with trying to convince people to stop referring to any movie as a comic. It's getting worse and worse, and the more they make and the more we see, they are not the same thing. Yeah. So,
well, I think an easy way, well, I say an easy way, obviously we have a mountain to climb, but instead of referring to them as comic book movies, refer to them as superhero movies.
Superhero movies, action movies.
Yeah, they're, you know, because when you put that...
They're Marvel movies, and that's fine, but yeah, they're not comic books.
Yeah, and I think if you could do that, because the my opinion, so this is probably not a popular thing, I honestly believe that comic book fans think differently. Even when I talk to my friends who aren't, now I'm not saying smarter, I'm just saying think differently. Because one of my friends that I've bought him some comics, try to get him into it. He's like, and he's a really smart guy, super creative. But he's like, you know, I can't hear the voices and stuff. I think comic fans, you know, we know, yeah, you have Earth 1, Earth 2, Earth 3, mm-hmm. all this stuff. So in my mind, these stories take place, you know, Earth MCU is where the movies are.
Sure.
But your average person, they can't grasp parallel universes and multiple Earths and everything like that. So they think all Captain Americas should be the same. You know, if they walk into your store and they're like, well, so Sam Wilson's Cap, but Bucky's Cap, but Steve is Cap, but Steve is also Nomad, you know, and it's like, yeah, well, there's different time frames and different Earths. And I think the masses, for lack of a better word,
is that not a failure on the part of the publishers to not be able to tell engaging stories that stand on their own, separated from a fandom that, for good or for bad, could take it or leave it?
Yeah, I think it does. I mean, comics, you mentioned soap operas earlier. Derek, our buddy, always says, you know, they're perpetual act two. Mm-hmm. They can, even though when a story's over, the story can never actually be over.
There always has to be an epilogue. Mm-hmm. There always has to be a shadowy hand doing or grabbing something at the very end.
It's like, oh, wait.
To lead you into, yeah.
And so I think that it's really hard to find that line between, hey, we're going to tell this really cool story, and yeah, you know what? We killed Steve Rogers, or we killed Bruce Wayne, and here's Bucky, here's Nightwing as the replacement. And I think if they had the, back in the 90s, testicular fortitude to stick with it,
mm-hmm.
I think that would help. You know, if they drew that line in the sand and said, okay, you know what? No, Sam Wilson is Captain America.
Sure. Well, I mean, you know, when they made Hal Jordan evil and then sacrifice himself, they got so much hate mail, and they spent a better part of a decade or more just ignoring, just flat out ignoring everybody saying, how dare you?
Yeah, and that's when you just had comic book people.
To the point where you started to accept Jon Stewart and Kyle Rayner and the fact that Hal Jordan was just the character from the past, until of course we get him again, and that, you know,
yeah.
Hence the nothing ever sticks, nothing is ever.
And it's really, you know, without diving too far down this rabbit hole, you know, it's really hard when you're trying to introduce diversity and things into the books, because I know that's another big thing, is you get all sorts of people going in there, you know, little girls want to go in. Well, they want, you know, little girls, little boys, whoever, all races, creeds, genders, everything. They want somebody they can identify with.
Sure.
And a lot of these characters, for better or worse, you know, they were made in the 30s
mm-hmm.
or even the 50s and 60s, which was a completely different time. But then you also have people who are like, well, I want the, I mean, I think all groups, whether it be the publisher, the comic fans, the movie fans, want to have their cake and eat it too.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a battle that I think somebody somewhere is going to have to really sit down. One of the groups is going to have to give.
Sure.
And they're all stubborn enough not to.
Okay, so, well, we did comic talk for a little bit. So let's move forward and see what is... So since we're hitting the 500th anniversary, or the 500th episode of Night Nerd Podcasting, what do you see the future of the Night Nerd Podcast going forward?
Forward, we have a few things. This year, we launched a new show, DC Animated Adventures, and we have a 3-year plan on that one.
And have those... as it, when this one drops, will one of those have aired by then? Okay.
Yes, they're going to air every Tuesdays and Thursdays. Concurrent, like, I also have my weekly show, my daily show, but they'll air, we'll publish them in the mornings.
Oh, okay.
My show will be in the evenings. We have that where we're going through all of the main DC animated shows. So, Batman Animated Series, Superman Animated Series, Batman Beyond, Justice League, and Justice League Unlimited.
Okay.
So, that's a big thing. You know, we've committed to that. And, like I said, it's a three-year project. We're expanding out into YouTube, having more videos, more things out there.
Oh, okay.
We started recently putting up walkthroughs for certain video games and things. And
what is your YouTube channel?
It's The Night Nerd.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, you anywhere out there on social media you want to find us, just look for The Night Nerd.
Okay, but you have to put the T-H-E in front of it.
Yes.
Okay.
Otherwise, I mean, there's not any Night Nerd, but there's a Nerd Night trivia thing that it's been around a lot longer, so has more followers, but we're slowly climbing the ranks and things. And with YouTube's policy changes, you have to have X amount of followers before you can actually have your name as YouTube.com/TheNightNerd. You could sign on.
Sure.
No problem and do it. But now you have to have, I forgot how many hundreds of followers you have to have.
So. Oh, wow.
And as of this recording, we're not there yet.
No, gotcha.
We're getting there.
Well, hopefully this will help push it up a little bit more.
Yes. Yeah, so we're doing that. We also, as of January 1st of this year, of this airing, we are on Patreon now. So you can get all sorts of bonus shows and behind-the-scenes stuff, cool features, working on merch. We're going to have some merch.
Oh, nice.
We're looking to expand to get more celebrities on the show.
So how do we find your Patreon?
It's just going to be patreon.com/TheNightNerd.
Okay, with the T-H-E.
Yes. Always remember the T-H-E. We're there. And then it's just N-I-G-H-T, like nighttime, and N-E-R-D, which I was really surprised wasn't taken when I started this. Everything alliterative.
You thought you'd have to change it to the Night Nerd with a U, N-U-R-D.
Like K-N-I-T-E-N-U-R-D-E, I don't know, something. It surprisingly, like I said, was there. And so with the future, you know, adding the extra show, just having more content. That's the thing. I want, no matter what you're into, we have something for you, whether it is YouTube stuff, whether it's the commentary show, whether it's the weekly show, the Blah Blah Comics, Blah Blah Curse Words that we have with Derek and Colby, where they talk comic news and movie news and things, or one of my shows. You know, we just want to have something that you can tune in and listen to and check out. And, I mean, if we're being completely honest, like, where I don't have a day job and I can do this full-time.
Sure, because, you know,
get to travel to conventions and things. That's this year is definitely a, you know, I feel like up until this point, we've been year zero.
Okay.
You know, getting, even though it's been longer than a year, but figuring out the ebb and flow of everything, and I'm by no means an expert, and I never will be, but beginning to learn what works and what doesn't work, and this is really our year one. This is going
to
be...
Sure. So if you didn't listen to the beginning of the podcast, and if you didn't, or part one, however it turns out, the real lesson here, if you want to do podcasting, whether you want to talk about sewing or video games or comic books or all of the above, you just have to dive in feet first.
Yes. I am a very much leap before I look, usually. Sometimes for the better, sometimes not. But, and this year, we're doing that. We're doing more conventions this year. Hopefully have more panels this year, especially at some of our local, well, there's only one local show we really care about, but try and do more stuff and really just building that brand.
Okay.
Is what, you know, really looking at it as not just a group of guys hanging out talking, but as a viable, hey, if you like this stuff, if you like nerd culture, this is somewhere you need to go.
Sure.
This is where you have to go if you want to check it out. And, you know, if you want to rock the t-shirt or the bumper sticker or things like that, more giveaways, more contests, you know, whatever it is we can do to.
So on the podcasting side of it, what have you found to be not necessarily roadblocks, but some of your biggest challenges? What are the things that, other than learning, you know, I can't do this many shows a week, or maybe I need to extend my shows to a certain time or reduce them down to a certain time. What is a roadblock for you that you want to share with your listeners?
Probably the biggest thing is the consistency, because recently I dropped down to part-time at work, but I was working full-time. I had a side job and I was doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And two kids and a wife. Mm-hmm. And that was, time management has never been my forte. And that's been my hardest part is, okay, I have to go out there today and I have to record a show, even though I love it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the same, like, I love cooking steaks, but I don't cook a steak every day because there's a lot that goes into it.
Yeah.
And so it's not that, you know, you're tired of it or you don't want it. It's just the sheer magnitude of what you're doing. So my biggest roadblock is finding that balance, you know. The rest of the stuff, I'm of the old school American dream where if you work hard enough and long enough at something, it's gonna, you're either gonna crash and burn or it's gonna succeed. Mm-hmm. You know, and we've been making during this year zero, we've been making steps in the right direction. So that's really is just the biggest roadblock is perseverance and dedication, you know, and content. On the last/first part of this, you know, I mentioned switching it up. That's another thing. When you have those dry months where there's no good movies, where there's big comic events, where there's no video games coming out, you know, you really have to dig deep. And
how far in advance do you map some of your shows out?
I usually, you know, if it is a big event, like last November, I knew in August that I was going to talk about Thor and Justice League.
Sure, you knew they were all coming out.
Stuff like that. Usually, I try and start planning a couple of weeks out, and then Sunday nights are usually my sit down, begin research, plot stuff out. I have a little dry erase board here behind us that I start taking notes on, and so I'll have my topic picked out, like I said, a week or two in advance, and then the weekend before the show is when I really sit down, and then I'll get the rough outline of everything, and then on the days of, I'll spend an hour or two looking, you know, doing the research, finding out, you know, and sometimes, you know, there have been times at the 11th hour, I'm like, oh, you know, there's not enough to talk about here. I gotta change it up. I gotta do something mm-hmm. else. Because to keep it relevant with every day, you know, there's, I really wanted to talk about Marvel's Runaways back in November because
mm-hmm.
it debuted that during, we called it Nerdvember here on the network, but there's nothing in the realm of video games that you can talk about. You know, they're brand new, so you can't recast or do anything for movies and TV. They're really, the comics day was the only day I could do it. So that was one of those, as it got closer and I was starting to take notes and do everything, I realized, oh crap, I have to do something different. And
so not only dive in feet first, but be willing to alter your plans.
Yeah. Be willing to admit and know when you're wrong. Like there's times I'll have a week of shows. I'm like, yeah, this is one of my best shows. Don't get excited. Don't get your hopes up, I guess. Be prepared for soul crushing disappointment. No, you know, I mean, just like with anything, you know, you're not going to win 100% of the time.
Sure.
I don't care. And it usually seems the ones that you're most proud of. Because I have one of my most listened to shows was a random like week two or week three talking about sports video games.
Okay.
And I mean, I'm not saying I phoned it in, but it, personally, I felt like it wasn't one of my best shows.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been one of the most shared and downloaded and listened to.
Okay.
And I did a Fight Club week that I was super proud of, and it did okay.
Yeah.
And so that's, yeah, dive in, but don't be surprised if you hit your head on the way down.
Sure. Well, I guess if you target, so specific with a Fight Club episode versus a generic sports, mm-hmm. you know, video games. That just seems to reach a broader audience.
We did an M. Night Shyamalan week one week because there was literally nothing going on and it was his birthday. So, and that, you got to get creative. So, yes, it was in honor of him, but I used it as the biggest twist in video games. The biggest twist in movies. So, you got to do a little bit of outside the box thinking a lot too, you know, find those sometimes really thin threads that connect things. But, you know, that's for this show. Not a lot of podcasts, you know, they will just talk comics mm-hmm. or just talk video games.
Sure.
Whether it be what's out or stuff. And I think that is one cool thing about us that sets us apart is we'll have this topic, but depending what you like, you know, I have friends who they're like, you know, I don't care about comics, but I watch movies. So I listen to your Tuesday show, but I don't listen to your Wednesday show.
Okay. Fair enough. Yeah. And I guess hopefully you want to at least grab their attention and their interest in your style and what you're doing that maybe they will start listening to a different day show.
Yeah.
How can your listeners get in touch with you? What is your favorite method for them to contact you?
Snail mail. No. not give me my home address. I love you all, but not that much. Really, anything. We do, you know, everybody does Facebook messaging.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably the most common one. I've noticed.
So it's The Night Nerd?
The Night Nerd.
On Facebook?
Facebook.com/TheNightNerd. And we get a lot of our fan interaction there.
Okay.
As far as people who have questions about interviews, the more business related stuff comes to the email, which is nightnerd@thenightnerd.com.
nightnerd@thenightnerd.
Yes. And that's where when we're talking to studios or publishers or professionals.
Sure.
That one, because it's more formal.
Yeah.
You know, it makes us look more official. Anybody can have a .com name, but mm-hmm. they cost money. So people are like, well, at least you're spending something on this.
Sure, and yeah.
You're invested. More professional.
You're invested in this.
And so, I mean, Twitter. We used to have a Snapchat, but then I realized I'm in my 30s. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't need a Snapchat.
Okay.
So we dropped it. Twitter. We're on there. I still don't quite understand
it. Not a big Twitter person yet.
And so, really, Facebook. We do a lot on Instagram. We have a pretty good relation with people on Instagram. But really, Facebook is the best because we have links to everything else there. We keep talking about building a full-fledged website. But at this point, I mean, you can have marketplaces on Facebook. You can do everything there mm-hmm. and not have to pay the server cost, you know, for all that stuff. So we're trying to figure that out, and it all just really depends. But yeah, Facebook is probably the best place to find us.
Is there anything that you want your listeners to know about you that we didn't cover today? I know that's an odd question. I'm a really cool guy.
I'm the coolest cat
ever. Okay, other than being the coolest cat ever.
When I say we a lot when I talk on the show.
Mm-hmm.
It's not because I have...
Yeah, who
as
is...
As far as they know, I don't have multiple personalities.
Who is we?
So, even though I'm the Night Nerd, and my show is The Night Nerd, we are technically the Night Nerd Network.
Okay.
And Colby and Derek, I've mentioned a few times, mm-hmm. have blah, blah comics, blah, blah curse words. And we have a few other things that may or may not... I don't want to spoil them in case they don't happen.
But, sure.
Those guys, like, as we talked about earlier / other show, they're the reason I do this. Or they're the reason I got into this.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody that listens is the reason we continue to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And really just my level of gratitude and appreciation to my to our listeners. You know, I really want people to know that even if I only had 12 people that listened to me,
mm-hmm.
I would love those 12 people. I would be so thankful, and it'd be great. And that I am, aside from them, more so than them. I love you all out there, but my wife, Lindsay, she lets me come out here. I mean, we have a storage
shed. That's a big sacrifice to have your family let you take the time to do things like this, because it does. It takes a lot of time out of your schedule. It takes you away from some of the obligations. but it's a trust that, you know, that you are doing what you love, and that it does mean something.
Yeah, and so that is something that I am even though she doesn't really listen to the show.
But she shouldn't. She could talk to you anytime she wants to.
She has to hear me all the time.
That's right. She has to hear your...
But that's something that, you know, and as I mentioned when we were talking about what, you know, make sure you have your significant other's love and support and everything behind this. And that's, I feel like no matter what we're talking about, whether how you get here or where you're going, that's an important part. Friends and family, you know, my friends are great. Whether it's, you know, me calling in favors of friends like, hey, you know this person, so get them on the show, mm-hmm. or you come, you know, I feel bad. I feel like, you know, every month we're like, hey, Robert, you want to be on the show again? Hey, Robert, we need to talk to you about this. And, you know, just I am so, so thankful and blessed that I have that structure, that network of friends and family that, I mean, my studio, just real quick, the big soundboard I have, the two nice microphones that we have, my good friend Tate just gave those to me.
Thank you, Tate.
Yes, he is a lifesaver. These stands and all the programming of that soundboard, my good friend Brett came out here.
Thank
and
you,
did
Brett.
All of that. You know, I just, my wife's friend Crystal designed our logo, and she's working on some more stuff for us. There's just the structure, you know, they say it takes a village to raise a kid. Well, it takes a village to raise a podcast. Mm-hmm. And if you know, there's no way I could do any of this without any of y'all, you know, whether you know, you letting us,
it's impossible to do all of this kind of stuff by yourself.
Yes, it you would go insane and broke and everything. So that's, I guess, yeah, that's what I want everybody to know is,
well, you have a really nice setup here. You do a really great job. I think it is a testament that you have made it to 500 episodes, that you have stuck to it, that it means something, that you've put a lot of work, a lot of yourself, a lot of your passion into a really nice endeavor. And I wish you nothing but the best towards 500 more.
Oh, thank you. I'm gonna cry here. thank you. And coming from you, that means more than you'll ever know. I do appreciate it.
Well, it is tough to start something. It is even harder to continue something.
Yes, especially 500 episodes.
All right, well, Lance, it has been fun. Thank you for taking the time. I appreciate you being willing to be in the hot seat and try this little experiment in celebration of 500 episodes.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Robert, for coming out and doing this.
And everybody, listen to the Night Nerd Podcast and the Night Nerd Podcast Network, and do all of the Lance.
All the and buy all your comics from Star Comics. No,
that wasn't the direction I was going with. I was gonna let you do your outros, but I guess you can always do that later if you need to.
So like we've mentioned, if you want to check us out, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, just look for The Night Nerd. If you want to talk to me directly, you can email me thenightnerd@outlook.com or just nightnerd@thenightnerd.com. Wherever you're out there listening to us, whether it's iTunes, Stitcher, I always want to say Snitcher, but that's not right. Stitcher, Google Play, anything, that little like and subscribe button does more than you'll ever know for podcasters. Downloading and liking and sharing, stuff like that, just a click of a button makes all the difference in the world. And so make sure you're doing that. But other than that, just party on, Wayne. Party on, Garth. That's all we got.
Peace out.
All right, and there you have it. That was our 500th show. I really want to thank Robert from Star Comics for stopping by and doing it. It was a lot of fun. I want to thank Cena Grace from Marvel for being on the show, Derek for promoting our new show. It's a lot, and thank all of you. You're the reason we do this, and it's been a roller coaster, to say the least. 500 shows is insane. Let me go from not doing a podcast to next thing you know, you're 500 shows in. So I really want to thank everyone out there, my listeners, friends, family, all of you. And if you like what you hear, make sure you're checking us out on social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube. Just look for The Night Nerd. Definitely check out our Patreon, patreon.com/TheNightNerd. There's all sorts of great and wonderful exclusive shows on there that I really think you'll enjoy. Check out Blah Blah Comics, Blah Blah Curse Words every Sunday on the network. We also have DC Animated Adventures, our live commentary through the entire DC Animated Universe every Tuesday and Thursday. If you want to talk to me directly, you can message me on any of those platforms or just email me, nightnerd@thenightnerd.com. And yeah, I'm really excited what the next 500 bring. Again, thank you so much for listening. I am Lance, and we will see you next week with our preview of 2018.